Walking through the book of Acts, and we started last week with Jesus' ascension and the challenge or the charge that he laid upon the disciples to go and be witnesses in his name, to go and take the word, take the gospel and spread it to all of Judea and all of Samaria and to the ends of the world. And so we continue today diving deeper into the book of Acts, and we really start seeing the start of the early church today as we continue the series. But before we get into that message, before we dive into today's scripture, there was a couple questions that I asked last week, and I'm going to bring them back up because I want us to really understand the importance of this. Last week, we talked about one life that had either invested into us and shared the gospel with us, that cared and loved us so deeply that they wanted to make sure that we knew about who Jesus is. And then we also talked about one life that you can also be that person to. Who is one life that you are sharing the love of Christ with? And so over this past week, have you anybody had a chance to be able to identify who that was that invested into you, for one, and then identify somebody that you can invest into? So those are questions that I want you to keep thinking about in your mind as we get into today's message. But before we do, let's take a moment to pray for the Holy Spirit to just stir within us. Father God, we just come before you. We come before you and give thanks. We give thanks for this morning that you have made, this place that we have to come and worship you together as a body of believers. We give you thanks for the sacrifice that your son Jesus was so we could come and talk about the goodness, the greatness, the love, the mercy, forgiveness that he is for us. Father, we just pray for the Holy Spirit to fill this place, to stir within our hearts, stir within our minds. God, let us have something revealed to us this morning that we apply immediately, that we apply into our lives as we depart today. Father, let your word just dwell within our hearts and come out within our actions and our words. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I often have to laugh. As I every day I'm plugging through life. I'm sometimes in the, feels like the deep mud, just trying to figure my way through it, and sometimes I'm on the nice concrete paved path, but I can't help but laugh because I often take moments to try to reflect on my day, reflect on my week, reflect on my past, and I can't help but laugh because I in those moments I see where God has been working in my lives, even when I feel like I'm just in the mud that I can't get out of. Even when I'm in the what feels like quicksand sometimes. Like, I can't help but laugh because God is working in my life even in those moments. One in particular thing that kind of made me laugh is that when I was in high school, I was a jock. I was a part of a group of friends that would often make fun of people or do things to garner attention. And those were how we felt like we were accepted, how we thought that we needed to behave in order for people to like us. I often had this kind of too cool, like overconfident persona or a personality. And man, like, when I reflect on that time, honestly, when I would depart from my friends groups or when I would go home and I was home alone, I honestly was super insecure. I was super afraid that no one liked me or no one cared about me. And so I behaved like this, thinking that that's who I needed to be. Thinking that that's the stuff that I needed to be involved in, or the words and putting others down, or whatever the case, to make myself feel better. And And so I laugh. I laugh because God has this, I believe God has a sense of humor, because the as I am now in ministry and have surrendered my life to Christ and am doing everything I can to kind of go out and just be the love of Jesus in other people's lives, it's incredible how many of those people that when I was in high school, I probably would have made fun of, but now God is just sending them to me in droves to show them that they are cared for, that they are loved, that they are, that their life is priceless, that their life has meaning and purpose, even as much or more so than those that think that they're too cool or that they're popular or whatever the case. And so I had a moment this week where I was pretty broken. There was a lot of things that happened this week that kind of left me really down in the dumps. And as I was just kind of sitting in this moment and reflecting, I eventually had this smile brought to my face because there are people that God keeps presenting to me to minister to that need to see His love and need to see His mercy and need to see His forgiveness and need to see how much they are cared for. And so, man, I am incredibly humbled by those moments. Today's message comes to us from Acts chapter 2, and there's a lot in this passage, or a lot in this scripture, that I want us to really pay attention to. I want us to really see what the values were for the early church. When the church came together in this moment, I want us to see how this needs to be embedded into our DNA. Especially within Western Christianity, we have come into, we've allowed the selfishness of humanity to infiltrate our churches. And so I'm excited about sharing with everybody what the early church looked like. And so one of the things that, as I was reflecting on that moment, reflecting on the lives that are brought to me, the lives that I'm interjected into, when I was reflecting on all that, I started thinking about what this means for the church, what this means for the local church, what's this mean for the kingdom church, the big C church, all of God's children. And I started thinking about this, and I just came to this. We are Acts 2. We are Acts 2 church. The name on the sign on the outside of our building, the name on the signs that we put out on the street to help direct people to us, those signs are delivering a message. Those signs are delivering a message to the community. They're delivering the message to people that are driving by. When we walk outside and we're wearing our Acts 2 church, Acts 2 church shirts that we just got, that was a tongue twister. These shirts, we are delivering a message when we walk around in these shirts. We're delivering a message when we walk out and engage people as a representative of a Christ follower. We are delivering a message. And so to build on those questions, those reflective questions from last week of who's the one life that has invested into you, or who's one life that you can be investing into, that may not be sitting around you right now, I added a few more. When I think about this message that's being delivered, what kind of message are we delivering to people? Are we delivering the message that comes from Acts chapter 2 in the Bible? Or are we delivering a different message? Did anybody get a chance to follow along with the reading plan and read through Acts chapter 2 this week and see what kind of message it is delivering? You see, we not only represent Acts 2 Church, the name of our church, but we, as a church, represent the global church of Christ followers. And are we delivering that message when we go out and live our lives? Today, as we look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, I want us to really understand and dwell on what the word is sharing with us today, that what it's teaching us about the message that we are delivering when we leave this physical location. The book of Acts chapter 2 delivers a message, and the message that it delivers is one of fellowship, of one of prayer, of one of sacrificial generosity. And so to get us to where the scripture that we are going to be focusing on today, Acts chapter 2 is 47 verses long. We're going to provide a brief synopsis of the first 40 verses, and then we're going to really dive into the last few. And so in the first 40 verses of Acts chapter 2, what we see is the promise that we looked at last week in Acts chapter 1, the promise that Jesus provided to his disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them after he ascended within a few days, right? And so the Holy Spirit, what we see in the first 40 verses of Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has come upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. It has come upon them and is really, as we see it within Scripture, there's it kind of describes a picture of a lot of wind howling or some commotion going on as the Holy Spirit is coming down. Well, this commotion, this picture that is kind of being painted, is bringing people to come see what's happening. You know, it's bringing people from all around the area to come see what's going on. And so everybody that's showing up, you know, it's a very diverse crowd. It's a very wide variety of backgrounds showing up, and they spoke different languages. But what Scripture tells us is they showed up, they're hearing everything that's going on within their own language, which is a miracle in itself. And so all the people are showing up, and they are hearing everything in their own languages, and they know that it's not necessarily normal. And so a lot of them are hearing what's going on and taking in the message, and some of them are listening to what's being said, and they're listening to what's being shared, and some of them kind of had the opposite attitude. Some of them were like, they're just drunk. My paraphrase. You know, but what happened here is that Peter then stood up. You know, Peter's pretty well known of kind of a putting his foot in his mouth kind of guy, but he stood up and delivered a message to thousands of people. And when he stood up, delivered this message, he wasn't kind of stumbling around. He wasn't belligerent. He did not display any kind of actions of being drunk. And he taught about who Jesus was. And he ensured that the gospel was being preached and being shared with the people. Acts 2:21 says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter was very clear that your belief in Christ is what brings your salvation. And then he shared even more about the gospel. He shared about the death and resurrection of Christ, and he laid out the bottom line to him, to all the people, in the last couple of verses. It says Acts 2:38-40 says, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' Upon your repentance, upon your surrender of your life to Christ, that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and dwells within you." And he continues on and says, "The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And this is when the church began in Jerusalem. This is when the local church began to form. And so what we see in the focus scripture today, we're going to be looking at Acts 2, 42 through 47, a little bit deeper. And so what we see here is the focus, the message, the core values upon the local church. And these verses, these five verses give us a glimpse or a snapshot of what the early church valued and what they practiced, what the early believers were founded on. I want us to focus on this because this is what we want to embed into our DNA. This is the message that this church was founded on. This is the set of scripture that this church was named after. This is something that is going to be perfect for us to look at as we look at a reset of our church. So Acts 2, 42 through 47, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." You see, there, as they began to form the local church, as they began to come together as these believers, as they were just being saved in droves, as Peter stood up and delivered this message, their culture, their circumstances, they let these things influence the structure that they put into the early church. They influenced their lives and what they put into practice. And so I want us to really pay attention to what the early church valued and what the early church deemed relevant. And these things, as disciples of Jesus today, as those that call ourselves Christ followers today, these are the things that we need to value as well. These need to be at the core of our beliefs. These Christ-centered values and practices in the early church, as they were implemented, as they influenced the culture, as they influenced the people groups around them, there are two things that happened. There were two effects that took place. For every cause, there's effect, an effect, right? And so because of this, there were two effects that took place. And first one was they began having this tremendous influence on those that were around them. They started having this tremendous influence within their communities, within their people groups where God had sent them into. The last verse of Acts chapter 2, the first part says that they enjoyed the favor of all people. What this is saying, what this is delivering, is that they impacted their city by embracing the life and teaching of Jesus, by embracing who Jesus was and being witness to who he was and what he represents, the sacrifice that he was for those that claim him. That led to their being the witness to his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, the hope found in him that we talked about in Acts chapter 1. And secondly, the second thing that was an effect from this cause of implementing these things, God brought people into his kingdom. At the end of verse 47, it declares that the Lord added to their number daily. And it was because of these things, their devotion to God's word, the fellowship that they had, the radical and sacrificial generosity that they provided, prayer and worship, because of those things, the kingdom grew. It says the Lord added to their number daily. When I think about this and I reflect on what we saw yesterday with a large group of people coming out and helping out just at a cleanup day right here within our building, I started thinking through what generosity looks like within a church. There's a lot of opposition lot of opposition to the church in today's society, in today's culture. There's a lot of people that throw out things like, you know what, churches need to be taxed. There's a lot of people out there that throw out things like, you know, churches are just out to get your money. Or, you know, we see the other side of some churches that don't necessarily represent these core values of Christ, and you see, you know, pastors or preachers that fly around in their own private jet. Like, as I started thinking through this, I ran across this video from Francis Chan. It's about 3 minutes long, but I couldn't have said it better myself about what generosity from the church can look like. As I watched this video, I started looking around a little bit and seeing what some of the other well-known preachers within the United States might say, and I ran across a quote from Rick Warren. It says, "If you want the blessing of God in your life, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the anointing of God through your life, you need to build your life on three things: integrity, humility, and generosity." That was that in itself, like reflecting on your life and seeing where it might stack up to those three things is humbling. Humbling. So I think through this. I think through these things and try to see, am I loving by giving? Giving of time and resources. Am I loving by putting my faith into action? When I step out into the Gretna area, into Ashland or wherever I might go, am I living this out? And then I went back to those questions from last week. I went back to the questions that I posed in the introduction. That one life that shared the gospel with me, that completely changed my life, the course of my life in that one moment. Am I doing that for others? Am I loving by giving the hope that is only found in Jesus, the joy that is only found in Jesus? How am I remembering that one life that invested into me by doing that for others? I want you guys to also think about that. I want you guys to also reflect on that one life that shared the gospel with you at some point in your life. Are you remembering them by sharing that with another? In this one life should be someone that you can point to right now that isn't sitting here with us today. This one life should be someone that is somewhere within the mission field that God has sent you, whether it's your workplace, your where you frequently visit in restaurants or whatever. The communities, your neighbors. These one lives should be someone in this area. See, I reflect on who I was when I was a teenager. I reflect on who I was in my early 20s. And God just keeps bringing me people that I would have rejected in those moments, in my previous life. God keeps bringing me people to love on. I hope that I am doing everything that I can to build into them, to invest into them, to pour into them, to keep sharing who Jesus was for me and who Jesus is to them weekly, because God wants me in their lives. I believe it. God wants me to show them and to direct them to His Son Jesus Christ. These groups, these people, I love them dearly because, I've come to the realization throughout life that we're all really nerds. We're all really outcasts. What we choose to nerd out about is different for each one of us. For me, looking back in my time, what I nerded out about was football. Okay, I'm a nerd about sports. There's people that are nerdy about band. There's people that are nerdy about art. and I don't want to use the word negatively because it's not. To me, the word nerd has evolved into just something that you're passionate about. And something that you are passionate about, it's very likely it can be used to glorify God and to point somebody else to Jesus. And so how can we apply this today? That's the question, right? How we look at these core values from the early church and we say, what, how can we do this today? What are we doing today to implement these things? First one is daily reading. Devotion to God's Word. It said that they were devoted to the teachings and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Daily reading plans. One of those was just posted here this past week, helping us with a daily reading plan to get through the book of Acts together. Take a moment to look at that. It's on our Facebook page. If you need it, come talk to me. I can get it sent to you. Second one was fellowship. How are we doing fellowship today? It's home groups. It's Acts Men. It's ladies studies. It's ornament classes. It's Discover One Thing mom study. It's book clubs and movies. These things are all amazing opportunities for fellowship and investing and growing together. And even though I know that it's unlikely, I still strive and have a big dream for 100% participation. If you're interested in any of those things, see Joel or Stacy to get connected. That's Joel and Stacy, everybody. The next one was this radical generosity, this sacrificial generosity. It says that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. How are we doing that today? We have baskets up here every Sunday morning. As we come and do communion and take communion together, there's baskets that you're able to give to through the mission of the Acts 2 Church. There's every fifth Sunday we have a missional giving where we choose a mission that we're going to give half of our offering to. Every fifth Sunday when that happens. We have opportunities to serve within the church, just like yesterday we had the cleanup day. And we had so many people show up. It was amazing. We have those opportunities. Then we have opportunities of serving within the community. Those are going to keep coming up. We're going to be creating more and more of those opportunities as we move forward. There's also home groups taking ownership of serving within the community. Home group leaders saying, you know what, we're going to take our home group today and we're going to go serve a meal at the Open Door Mission. Or we're going to take our home group and on this day we're going to go paint park benches. You know, we're going to take our home group and we're going to partner up with Youth for Christ and just come invest into teenagers. Whatever it might be. Those are opportunities to give give sacrificial generosity. And then prayer and worship. Committing to attend Sunday mornings. Committing to come and worship and praise together as a body of believers. Praying over the items on our wall that people placed up there that they just needed reset in their lives. Praying for the people that are sitting around you as you look around. Praying for those that are sitting here today. And here's one I think that we can do an even better job of. Look at the empty seats around you. Pray for those empty seats. Pray for the boldness. Pray for the courage as you identify the one life that's somewhere in your mission field to build relationship with. Pray that those seats are filled with that one life. These seats are empty. But imagine what this looked like if all of a sudden each and every one of us brought one friend. It'd be incredible. We might have to set up a few more rows. Pray for those empty chairs. And I believe, just as the early disciples, as the early church, as we continually devote ourselves to the teaching, devote ourselves to God's word, devote ourselves to loving Him and loving others, God is going to draw people into His kingdom. He's going to draw people to us. As we go out, we're going to start identifying and seeing people that are put into our lives that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it makes sense. We have a mission statement, so to speak. We have a faith statement. Our bottom line tagline, I guess, says love God, love one another, love all. If we reset and implement these core values from the early church and focus on them solely, we're going to start seeing a movement that I believe is going to blow us away. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you and give thanks. We give thanks for this opportunity to worship and praise you this morning. We give thanks for where you place us, the jobs that we have, the lives that we encounter. God, open our eyes and open our hearts to those lives, being lives that we are sent to impact, that those lives are ones that we are to share the love, hope, and mercy, forgiveness that is Jesus. Father, we just pray that as we depart today, as we move throughout the week or move throughout the month, God, that we are aware that our eyes are open to the lives that you place in front of us, God, that those aren't missed opportunities. To open our eyes to one life that is not sitting here today or that maybe not have visited before. That one life is one that we are to be bold with, to love them and show them Christ through how we build relationship. That God, that relationship is going to one day lead to an invitation that is going to change their life. It's going to transform their heart. An invitation to have a relationship with you, Jesus. Father, we just pray today that that we don't miss out. We don't miss out in being your witness because of whatever excuse that we could come up with. That we don't allow anything to stop us from being devoted to your word, having fellowship with one another and growing in home groups, that nothing stops us from being your witness to caring for those that have needs. God, you would leave the 99 for the one. That's where this idea of one life comes from. That's where this message comes from. There is one life somewhere within our circle of people that we associate with that needs to hear about you. God, and we just pray that this inspires us today to identify that life. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name.